Greetings and welcome to Shnayim Mikra, the series hosted, sponsored by the Orthodox Union, hosted at OU.org, in which we examine one of the aliyot of this current week's parasha. This week we are reading Parashat Bo. My name is Yitzchak at Shalom, and I'm excited to be studying the second aliyah with you in this, the second podcast in the series, which begins at Perek Yod, Pasuk Yod Bet. After the warning that was given with the consequences and the subsequent second meeting between Moshe and Paro, which ended with Moshe being sent out, we now hear about the Makkah itself of Arba, and we will also hear about the Makkah of Choshech, which comes, as I mentioned in the last podcast, without warning. Vayomer Adonai Moshe, Neteyadcha l'Eretz Mitzrayim ba'Arba. Stick up your hand, lean your hand towards the land of Mitzrayim with the Arba. And this follows the pattern that we've seen throughout the Makot. The first three Makot, which were a series, were performed, or the vehicle for them, was Aharon and his staff. Now the last three of the series of nine, leading up to the real Makot, which is Makot Bechorot, is affected by Moshe. We saw that in Barad, and now we see it in Arba. V'yal al Eretz Mitzrayim. Let it come up to Mitzrayim. And just as promised, it will eat up all of the grass, everything that the Barad did not destroy. Moshe lifts up, instead of his hand, he lifts up his staff towards Mitzrayim. Then God made an easter wind, an easterly wind come. All day and all night there's an easter wind. So what happened the next morning? This easterly wind lifted and brought the locusts. In other words, the locusts were brought in on a big wind coming towards the east. The Arbed then, the locusts then rested throughout everywhere in Mitzrayim. Kaved miyod, lefanav lo yachen arbed kamo, v'acharav lo yeken. And this, of course, raises very big problems for the beginning of Sefer Yoel. Believe that, I'm sure that in the Nachyomi series, on Yoel that was dealt with, but this was such a heavy plague, there was never a locust plague like it, nor will there be afterwards. So perhaps that means, as Chazal say, that in Yoel's case there were four different kinds of locusts, here was only one, or perhaps this is only in Mitzrayim, there would never be anything of the sort. And again, prefiguring the next Makkah, the locusts filled the land and the land became dark. Again, the emphasis. Whatever the Barad left, this cleaned up. In other words, this Makkah is coming really on the heels of Barad. As I mentioned before, there aren't really separate Makot, but there are three groups. There's the Dam Tzfardea Kinim group, the Arov Devashchin group, and now the Barad Arbeh Choshech group, and you could see how they're tied together. The Arbeh cleans up everything the Barad didn't get, and the Arbeh itself creates Choshech, which is the next Makkah. Nothing was left. So what happened? Paro, who beforehand had put his red line in the sand, I'm only going to let the men go. What happened? And now for the first time he says, I have sinned to God, your God, and to you. Please bear my sin, forgive me. And pray to your God. And let him get rid of this death. So, of course, that means Paro seems to be acceding. Right? So, what happened? Moshe walked out, he left Paro, he prayed to Hashem. And what Hashem do? He said, listen to Moshe. Now there's a western wind. So, western wind means that it's blowing from the west to the east, and it's blowing the locusts now towards Yam Suf, which is east of Egypt. There's a lot to discuss here. Just a kernel of a thought that you can look into and research, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu does all of the makot through some sort of a vehicle. Instead of the locust just appearing, there's a wind, and instead of the locust disappearing, there's a wind, and the same thing with the tzfardea. They come out of the water; they don't just appear. They're all utilizing nature in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way, but not disrupting nature, as it were. So as much as there was no place B'chol Gvur Mitzrayim that wasn't hit by the Arbeh, now there's not one locust left in Mitzrayim. And now Hashem directly hardens Pharaoh's heart. Even at this point, he should have let them go. He doesn't let them go. And now the third of the third set, which means we're now finishing the set of what I call in the chapter in my forthcoming book, The Education of Pharaoh. Again, lift your hands up to heaven. So let there be choshech. Beforehand there was choshech because of the arbeh. Let there now just be choshech because there's choshech. V'yamesh choshech. Let there be a reality of choshech, a mamashut of choshech. V'yed Moshe tedor al ha-shamayim. Here Moshe lifted up his hand, not his stick. V'yichoshech ha-feila v'chol eretz Yisrael m'shlosh yamin. There was a pitch darkness for 3 days in Egypt. Lo ra'u ish achiv. This is how bad it was. A person could not see another person. Nobody could get up for 3 days. They were immobilized. And setting it apart, B'nai Yisrael had light wherever they lived. And the implication is, perhaps they even had light day and night. Now that's perhaps a bit far-fetched. But B'nai Yisrael indeed had light. This is a little bit difficult because if you read through the narrative, it seems quite clear, both in Makat B'chorot and very early in the narrative, when they talk about borrowing from your neighbor, etc., or taking gold and silver from your neighbor, that Bnei Israel and the Mitzrim lived in an integrated community. And it's hard to believe that they moved out at some point, then moved back in at some point. And so what does this mean? That Bnei Israel miraculously had light in their houses, or wherever they walked there was light, and the rest of the place was dark? Does it mean the darkness hit the Egyptians only inside their houses and they couldn't get out? Does it mean this is only referring to the places where Bnei Israel and the Mitzrim lived separately? Unclear. But this is how the Aliyah ends. And what we've seen, again, perhaps something new to think about, is that the Makot, instead of looking at them as 10 separate events, taking a page from Rabbi Yehuda's famous mnemonic, Tetzach Adash B'Achav, see them really as three groups. And Makat B'Chorot sits separately in something we will discuss in a couple of podcasts when we talk about Makat B'Chorot. What you see is that these makot all sort of work together. Dam Sfardei Kinim all operates not only underground or at the ground level, but also shows an absolute disruption so that instead of the ground doing what it's supposed to do, which is to give forth life and sustenance, it gives forth death, attacking animals, lice, the water turning to blood. And then instead of the surface of Mitzrayim being somewhere where things are growing and where animals are able to behave appropriately and to interact properly with people, or at least accept people's rule, instead you have wild animals, Arov, if that's what Arov is, and then you have Dever, where they're being killed, and then Shechin, where the people themselves are plagued. But the critical piece that we're looking at here is the last three of these, which all have to do with the sky. But Barad is a rain of terror, rain in R-A-I-N of terror, coming down and destroying all of the crops. That's followed by the Arbeh that sort of clean up everything that's left and darken the sky. And on the heels of that, the absolute darkness that follows that immobilizes everybody. Bnei Yisrael, consistently through the Makot, are being set off against Mitzrayim, distinguished from Mitzrayim, v'flitiv v'yomahu. And therefore, Bnei Yisrael, wherever they are, or in their own settlements, do have or. We will pick it up in the next podcast with the third Aliyah, which is a relatively short one, and we will see how Makat Choshech, the effect that it had on Paro, how this leads to what seems to be the final meeting between Moshe and Paro, one that does not end well, and then a brief description of the meteoric rise of Bnei Yisrael and Moshe in the eyes of the Egyptians as a result of everything that we've been reading about in the past 6 chapters. Okay, everybody should have a wonderful day. And we'll meet again on the OU.org, Shnayim Mikra, when we look at the third Aliyah.